37 of a podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Droid, back with Frank D. And it is September the 8th, 2014. And let's say what's up to my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
What is the word today? What is up?
What is up is that, unlike the president, we actually do not lie on this podcast, and we tell it like it is, like Steve just said.
Politically incorrect and proud of it.
Exactly.
So we're just going to tell it like it is, as we always do. And as always, we appreciate you listening to the podcast here. And always want to recommend checking out Gerwick.net for all your late-breaking wrestling news, www.gerwek.net. And Frank, we were just about ready to do this podcast, and I'm seeing a video pop up on Facebook, and it's a NFL player, a suspended NFL player, taking liberties with his then fiance, and I kind of was thinking that he had been suspended for 4 games, which isn't much. And then I looked it up, and Ray Rice was actually suspended by the NFL for 2 games for domestic abuse. Now this video has come forward where it shows Ray Rice taking liberties, striking his then-fiance, then she strikes him back, and then he hits her hard enough where she basically falls down. This has me pretty irritated right now, Frank, to say the least. You know, I have really lost a lot of respect for the NFL. In fact, I was just telling you, over the weekend, this was the first weekend since probably 2001, 2002, where I didn't have the NFL Sunday ticket, and honestly, I didn't miss it. And this league has really fallen off to me. And that's why I keep going back to, well, you know, wrestling tonight goes against Monday Night Football, though. NFL is back on. And how does the WWE respond? They have Jerry Springer on tonight's Raw show. But quickly, going back to the NFL, Frank, we got a situation where this guy is suspended for 2 games. The NFL reacts by upgrading its policy against domestic abuse. And now this video has come forward. Frank D., what's your take on what's going on with Ray Rice, and what really should happen with this individual?
The situation is basically, it seems to me like the NFL is basically not punishing its players to the fullest extent. And what I mean by that is that obviously we've had a domestic violence situation here happen where a male struck a female and a female struck a male. And more times than none, the male would have gone to jail for this. Now, I don't know if Mr. Rice has gone to jail, if he was charged with any type of a crime, if he was charged with a felony. When exactly, Steve, did you say that this event took place?
This is in, I believe, February of this year in Atlantic City.
Okay. And they're just now doing something about it? Because my thing is that where did this tape come from all of a sudden?
That's a good question. TMZ produces this tape from a surveillance video, and where was this tape when the NFL was investigating this? And now NFL's like, yeah, we're looking into this. We've requested the video. We haven't seen it yet. Well, it's all over the internet. It's on. Just turn on ESPN right now. They're showing it over and over.
Yeah, they want, but I think the NFL wants the actual tape and not something that could be put on YouTube that could be edited or doctored in any type of way. They want the unedited footage of the incident. It doesn't matter at the end of the day to me. The guy struck a female. The guy should not even be in the NFL. I mean, what does that say to all the youths that are watching the NFL that it's okay to beat women and it's okay for women to put their hands on the man? You shouldn't be putting your hands on each other to begin with, and that's just how I feel about it. I've seen a lot of situations where a man who could be doing something gets ruined by a woman and what she can do, and as far as basically domestic violence, you know, restraining orders, et cetera. That you deal with in law enforcement, and no different here. I mean, he should be a 2-game suspension is, you know, really, that's a slap on the wrist. I mean, there should be some, you know, probably, you know, 10-game suspension. There should be some fines put on here. Honestly, for him doing something like this, I would have just kicked him out of the league. I mean, you had a situation where you had Michael Vick that was convicted for doing dogfighting. And he was kicked out of the league at one point. What's wrong? I mean, those were dogs, and I'm not trying to make, you know, like a lie of that situation, but this is a human being. But the problem, like I was telling you, that they're going to run into with this situation is that, okay, that was his then fiance, which is now they are married. So even though she was, you know, quite frankly, getting her ass kicked, she still married the guy. So what are we feeling sorry about? What are we saying, okay, well, this is wrong and this is that? Hey, you know what? It's not, at the end of the day, it's not my business. If she decides that she wants to marry a guy who beats her all for the sake of a buck, the hell with her.
And for the record, a grand jury indicted Rice on third-degree aggravated assault with a possible jail sentence up to 3 to 5 years and a fine up to $15,000. And I can already see it, Frank, if the NFL would have reacted by saying, you know, you're banned from the NFL. We don't want you in the NFL. We don't want domestic abuse being part of our culture in the NFL. You know, because Ray Rice is black, Jesse Jackson would be on TV, Al Sharpton would be on TV. We know that's not what NFL wants, but I just don't know how they tolerate anything like this. And now, you know, Goodell, the commissioner, revamps the policy on domestic abuse. How was it not already addressed previously? They need a high profile incident for them to revamp their policy on domestic abuse. When shouldn't it be already in there? I mean, Roger Goodell is an attorney already. He should know that you can't tolerate domestic abuse. And now we're going to have this guy back on the field in a couple of weeks. And as soon as he scores a touchdown, then I guess everything's okay, Frank, because, you know, he can score touchdowns.
Okay, well, here's the deal. We're going into football season right now. And, it, you know, honestly, if they didn't do anything about it then, I highly doubt they're going to do anything about it now.
Agreed.
At the end of the day, the NFL is all about making a buck. And they got to draw people there. I mean, they get a lot. They get lots and lots of money on their TV rights fees. They get money that WWE can dream of. And they get merchandise sales and, you know, people, you know, concessions, et cetera. They make a lot of money. So, of course, they're going to sweep the situation under the rug because this is the guy right now that everybody's talking about. Can't let this guy go. You know, we can't do that. So we'll slip, and then we're like, you know, he's agreed to go to some family counseling, and his wife's forgiven him, and, you know, that's pretty much, you already know this is where they're going to go with this.
Yep. Well, I mean, Michael Vick came back in the league, and within a year or two, no, he isn't talking about the dog fighting.
No,
everything's forgiven. He scores touchdowns, right?
Well, he scores touchdowns, he's forgiven, but here's the thing, here's the deal with Vick. Vick actually went in, and he actually went to jail.
True.
And he paid his debt to society on those grounds. He paid his debt to society. He went to jail. He came back, and it's time for him to move on with his life and not make that mistake again. The thing that's different with this situation is this guy hasn't gone to jail.
Nope.
You know, he was indicted.
He's facing charges.
He's facing
right.
charges. He was indicted, but most likely he's not going to go to jail.
Probably not. As you said, he'll go back. He'll go to counseling.
Exactly. He'll go to counseling. He'll get he'll get probation or something, or he'll get community service. They're going to make sure it's not a felony on his record, and he'll be fine.
And they're going to say, after the incident, he married the woman anyways.
Right.
So all is good.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. And now he got it on video. Again, I understand the video could be doctrine. It's not a very good video. It's a surveillance video. But, I mean, just what a black eye for the NFL. And to only give this guy two games for something like this, and I guess we'll let it play out in the courts. We'll see what happens if it actually goes to, you know, a trial and he's actually facing these charges, or if they're going to settle out of court somehow and he'll pay a large fine and do community service or whatever. And I don't know. I just it's just mind-boggling that they put up with this kind of stuff in the NFL. And you know what I thought about too, Frank, is what would happen if a high-profile WWE wrestler would be caught on video slapping around his girlfriend? What do you think the Vince McMahon and the WWE brass would react to an incident like that?
Same thing they react to when one of their wrestlers is caught violating the wellness policy. Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, the only person that I've seen that's gone in a public view that they've actually done something with, and the guy got, you know, got probation or jail time or whatever it was R&B singer Chris Brown when he got the domestic violence with singer Rihanna. And you know, I don't know the situation with these situations with domestics as far as their case goes, who hit who. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is that if a guy strikes a female, it doesn't matter if she hit him first, he's going to be the bad guy. And that's exactly what happens. Like I said, I've seen plenty of men get ruined by a female.
So that's our 2 cents right now on Ray Rice, and we start with that on the podcast today because it kind of broke as we were preparing for this podcast. And, you know, Frank, we're not afraid to tackle any issue.
Exactly. I mean, we can talk about that, or we can talk about how slow the Big Show walks to the ring.
And the rumor is that the Big Show might get the next title shot after John Cena.
Oh, God.
Ugh. As he would say, crickets.
Crickets. And as Alvarez would say, no buys.
No buys.
You know, it's just, I mean, garbage. I mean, who really wants to see Big Show versus Brock Lesnar?
Not me.
What is this, 2002?
I don't think a lot of wrestling fans want to see that anyways.
No, Brock Lesnar could do way better than that.
Absolutely.
But the problem is that, you know, there is nobody.
That's the problem with that roster.
We talked about it
before in this podcast.
I mean, yeah, I pitched the idea of turning Randy Orton into a face and have him go after Lesnar. I think that would be better than him going against Big Show.
I think your best idea was Batista, if you're not going to bring in Kurt Angle at this point. But then again, Batista's actually doing pretty well right now with movies, so...
Exactly. Batista's in WWE.
See, I came back. I was to get the title at WrestleMania. And then I was put in a three-way. Then I was put in the Evolution. And then I was jobbing. And then I went home.
Yep.
Huh. I think, do I really want to come back there? Probably not.
Nope.
And who could blame him at this point?
Yeah, come back and I'm going to, you know, all the people are going to be chanting Daniel Bryan at me and Bautista. I don't need this crap.
Well, it was very interesting. CM Punk, I guess his attorney, sent a 22-page legal document letter to WWE because apparently WWE has not been paying him royalties. And the question here, Frank, is, as we've said so many times on this podcast, the guy left the company. The guy quit. He still was under contract to WWE, I believe, until July. So he left, what, after the Royal Rumble, which was in January. So virtually 6 months, the guy's sitting at home, and he's still under contract to WWE. Now, I can honestly say these contracts certainly favor, to a larger degree, WWE's employment, the WWE company. But at the end of the day, Frank, I didn't sign this contract.
No.
A guy named Phil Brooks put his name on the deal. And kind of the audacity now for him to say, well, WWE owes me all this money because I went home and then they didn't pay me. I was really surprised to see that Phil Brooks, CM Punk, would send a letter to WWE wanting money when essentially he quit the company.
Yeah, you know, to me it just seems like if WWE stops sending him royalty payments, it's basically, you know, I think it has to do with the fact that in my view, and any lawyer will tell you this, the guy breached the contract. That's the bottom line. He refused to work. He stayed home. So they're going to get 6 months worth of payments out of CM Punk. Now, we go past the 6 months. Okay, hey, you know what? He wants to be paid for the video game. He wants to get paid for his appearances probably on the network, DVD, whatever, because at the end of the day, CM Punk owns the name CM Punk. I guess he was leasing the name to WWE. So I can understand in that regard. I mean, it's no different than if Hulk Hogan was still in TNA. He would still be getting that WWE money. That's how that situation goes. And if he takes it to a court of law, they're going to tell him you breached the contract because you didn't perform. And WWE can bring up how much money did they lose with CM Punk not being there. They made an investment in CM Punk, and CM Punk decided to take his ball and go home. And has a return. And as far as the court documents, the 22-page letter that you know, we haven't seen it, but you know, I believe it mentioned that he's a retired professional wrestler.
And then I saw even a report where people were speculating this could stall the release of the video game in the fall.
I highly doubt that's going to happen. If it has to be, they're gonna release that game no matter what. I don't see that happening. This was already done. The game and the storyline, the story tone of the game was already concocted before Punk even left the company. The only problem that's happening right now is that, you know, see, they've scanned a lot of different, they've scanned a lot of the wrestlers for the video game, right? And it's new, the new hardware is going to be put into play this year, Xbox One, PlayStation 4. And from what I understand from listening to Smack Talks on YouTube, the CM Punk model is not going to look as good as the other models because Punk wasn't scanned. If you have to have a situation where they need to take Punk out the game because of legalities, they'll do that and put somebody in place. It's just I don't see it happening because they already have it. You know, they're finishing up the game as we speak. We got a little over a month before its release. So I don't see it happening. You know, and I do remember after the Benoit situation happened, they did take him out before the game's release happened. But those are two different stories, you know, two different situations. I'm pretty sure they'll come to some agreement with Punk, and it'll be an agreement that both parties can be happy about. But to see him not be in a video game, that's not going to happen.
You know, generally I side with the talent when it comes to these contracts with the whip, as you would say. But I don't know what legal ground he stands on when the guy took his ball and went home.
Right.
And now he wants to be paid for all these royalties. And, I mean, he was booked for house shows. He was definitely booked for WrestleMania. I mean, certainly they had plans for him post-WrestleMania. And now he wants his money?
Right.
I mean, I typically favor the talent. But when you quit, I mean, I didn't sign the contract. You signed the contract. And now he wants all this money. I don't know. I'm sure Jerry McDivitt will do the best to get that thrown out pretty fast. So.
Pretty much.
Yep. Well, I want to also mention here, Frank, we mentioned this on the last podcast, Jake the Snake Roberts and his battle with his illness, the double pneumonia. He was actually released. Very good news. He actually was released from the hospital, was actually back working a show, believe it or not. But I believe what TMZ was reporting that they have found more cancer, and I guess he's confirmed that he's now, again, battling cancer. So, you know, once again, I just want to give a shout-out to Jake the Snake Roberts and wish him the best of luck in his fight for a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Jake has always been one of my favorites, and I'm like I said on the last podcast, happy to be a Jake the Snake Roberts fan, very proud of the fact that this guy cleaned up his act. And, you know, hats off to him in his battle here. And I'm pretty sure that he is going to pull out of it just like he did with the pneumonia.
And credit the guy. I mean, tough as nails. The guy's in the hospital, double pneumonia. He's on a ventilator. And now he's released and he's making a video and he's at a house show, a wrestling show.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. That's saying something for the guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw a picture of him. He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
All things considering, my gosh. I mean, the guy who's been in the hospital for, a week?
Yep.
2 weeks?
Yep.
And now he's out and he's fighting again. So, as I said, Jake, take that illness and give it to DDT.
Totally agree.
So we wish him the best of luck in his recovery. A couple TV notes I want to mention here, Frank. There's been a lot of speculation about SmackDown moving to Thursday nights. And it looked like it was pretty much set in stone in October they'd switch to Thursday nights. Now there's more conflicting reports, and it looks like, after all this, SmackDown actually may be staying on Friday nights. Do you think this is because the NFL is on Thursday nights that they don't want to put SmackDown head-to-head against the NFL?
Absolutely. Yeah. They pretty much know that if SmackDown is on Thursday nights, I mean, you know, take notice of TNA. And what TNA did. TNA went to Wednesday because they wanted to avoid that NFL on Thursday, and that's a smart move. Get out of the way.
Yep.
When that NFL monster comes running by, get out of the way. Well, WWE realizes that their product is not the best right now, and hasn't been for years. SmackDown is another brand, in my opinion, that's on life support. And why move it to Thursdays? I mean, listen, I've already said it here once before, and I'll say it again. I don't care if SmackDown is on Thursday. I don't care if it's on Tuesday. I don't care if it's on Wednesday. The show sucks. nobody is going to watch it. So it doesn't matter to me if they put it on, if it's on Thursdays or Fridays. I don't really care. I'm not watching the show. It's garbage.
Yeah, until they go live, I really don't care. We know
even,
the results.
Even if it's live, it still sucks. Because here's the deal. It's no different than Raw. Number one, the show has the same stage setup as Raw. The only thing that's different is the ring apron is, it says SmackDown. But other than that, it's the same color ropes. Okay? The stage is the same. It's nothing different. Their shows have just become so sterile. You know, it's just there's just nothing exciting about it anymore. It's like, you know, tonight's a season premiere of Raw. And they're touting in 2014 that they have Jerry Springer coming to Raw to be an intervention for the Bella Twins storyline. I'm like, come on, man, really? WWE hasn't evolved at all. We're still talking about Jerry Springer, and people on the website want to make comments about people being Nitro marks. Well, look at the WWE. WWE still marks about Jerry Springer, and Jerry Springer's popularity of his show was in the late 90s. Really?
No, honestly, I didn't even know the show was still on.
It's still on the air.
Oh, my gosh. NFL returns, and tonight we get Jerry Springer with the Bella Twins.
All right. You can already see where
Bella
that's going. Yeah, you can already see where that's going to go.
Can I say crickets?
You can say crickets. You can say no buys. You can say ratings in that quarter going down to hell. You can say it all.
Yeah, so tonight, I guess they have it all figured out. If it's a bad rating, it was just football. It couldn't be the show stinks.
Well, no, because we don't want to say anything involving trips sucks.
Right. So it's the for the next, 16 weeks or 17 weeks of football now, we have it all set up that when the show stinks, we just say it was the ratings. It was Monday Night Football.
Right.
So much for creative. Let them off the hook. Yeah, football was on. What can you do?
Right.
Oh, I don't know. How about having a show that people want to see?
Yep.
I mean, Jerry Springer would have meant something in the Attitude Era.
Yep.
But last I checked, my calendar says 2014. So who cares about Jerry Springer? Who cares about the Bella Twins? But, of course, the Bella Twins are on there because they pushed the Total Divas, which, by the way, Frank, Total Divas was on last night.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Season premiere.
Okay.
I guess you didn't tune in.
Nope. The only thing I tune in is our show on TuneIn. But other than that, no, I wasn't tuning in.
Very good. Yeah, and apparently, to follow up on our last podcast, you've not been checking out Total Divas on the network because, like myself, we're not currently subscribing to the network anymore.
Nope, not anytime soon. I mean, yeah, it's cool to see Monday Nitro on the network, but like I said, you're going to have to put a little bit more content on there. I want to see Nitro from 97 and 98. So when they do that, then maybe I'll think about coming back there on a month-to-month basis. But until then, no, I have no interest. Besides that, I'm, you know, like Steve, I'm a very busy person. I actually have a life outside of wrestling. You know, I got things to do. Honestly, wrestling doesn't consume my existence. And I'm not saying that, you know, anybody it does consume, that's a problem. It just doesn't consume me.
No. Probably at one time, we probably both were in that boat where that's all I thought about was wrestling.
Exactly.
But now, as you said, you get older and you got other priorities in life. You got families. You got friends.
Yep. I got work.
Wrestling,
you know,
takes a back seat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm working. I'm going to school full time. You know, I don't have time for wrestling right now.
Especially when wrestling stinks.
Exactly.
When's the last time it's like, you know, Raw tonight? When's the last time you're like, oh, I can't wait to see Raw tonight. I can't wait to see SmackDown.
That would have been a few weeks ago when it was actually the NWO reunion. But that was pretty much it.
Other than that, when's the last time you said, I can't wait to see an Impact, or I can't wait to see one of the WWE shows, the superstars, the NXTs? The product is just so stale right now. And at one time, Frank, I remember those Attitude Era days. Man, you couldn't wait till 8 o'clock came on a Monday night, start the channel surfing, see what show was going to be better. But now, Jerry Springer.
Yep. And nothing against Jerry Springer. It's not Jerry Springer's fault that the product is in the crapper. He has nothing to do with sports entertainment. It's not on him.
He's getting a paycheck tonight. You can't blame the guy.
Exactly.
I didn't book him.
Yep.
They booked him. So, hey, if somebody's willing to give you a paycheck and they think you're relevant in 2014, you know, hats off to his agent.
That's right.
You know, I keep always would see William Shatner pop up on commercials and things, and I'm thinking the guy's really not been relevant in a long time, but, man, the guy keeps getting gigs.
Yep.
You know, shows up on all these TV shows, and he's doing endorsement deals, and he's coming to your comic cons, and maybe it was a guy in his 80s, and they still keep him somewhat relevant and keep getting paychecks. So power to you, man.
Yep.
Free enterprise out there. Well, quickly with the TV situation with TNA, we've talked about a lot with what's going on with Impact, and we know Impact's going to be on Spike TV until the end of the year. And there was speculation they may go to Discovery Velocity, which would greatly decrease their viewership because it would be available in about 50 million homes instead of 90-something million with Spike TV. And now the new rumor, Frank, is WGN America could be in the mix to be a possible host for TNA Wrestling. I don't personally see it happening. I think WGN tried the WWE show. It didn't really work out all that well. They got rid of it. I can't see them switching over to TNA at this point.
No, I think them switching over to TNA would kind of be like kind of lowbrow because of the simple fact that they did have WWE superstars on there years ago, I should say. I don't know. I just think that, you know, WGN just doesn't come across to me as a network that's interested in bringing in wrestling. I don't really see any network that really would be interested in bringing in wrestling right now. I mean, WWE, the reason why WWE is on USA is because they couldn't get any, on anywhere else.
I can see networks, a network head saying, WWE is still relevant in 2014. If we're going to bring in wrestling, we bring in WWE. That is the brand. That is the name that everybody knows. People don't know TNA. And I just don't see why WGN would want TNA unless they had just a tremendous deal where it cost them virtually nothing to put the show on. But who's going to watch this show? And instead, they've already tried WWE and they saw the ratings for that. And they have to know Impact's going to get, it's going to be inferior. It's going to get less ratings than WWE. So what's the point?
Yeah, and unless TNA, you know, I mean, had a big following in Chicago, and I think that's where WGN is based out of, I don't see it working.
No, I don't either. I guess TNA is just in limbo. I know you wrote a tweet at Real Frank DEE on Twitter about, you know, you have respect for the wrestlers. You hope things work out for TNA, but I don't know, Frank. To me, it's looking very, very bleak at this point.
Yeah, it's nothing. And I did put that tweet out there, and really it had nothing to do with as far as TNA's management, Dixie Carter and all them. I could really care less. It all goes back to the wrestlers, the ones that are out there actually going in the ring and taking bumps, like Bobby Roode, Eric Young, Kenny King, you know, Lashley, you know, Romans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are the guys that are out there, you know, busting their ass for the brand, even though the brand sucks. And if they don't know what's going to happen, they're still, I have to respect the fact they're still going out there and putting on 100% at all times, you know? You have to commend that.
Absolutely. Over the weekend, Frank, they ran a ROH, Ring of Honor, ran a internet pay-per-view from Toronto. And the result that I think had a lot of people maybe scratching their head was that Michael Elgin lost the ROH championship. He just won it from Adam Cole. And he dropped the championship to a former Ring of Honor champion, Jay Briscoe. And a lot of people were questioning this move. Some people, I was reading on the social media, that thought Michael Elgin was a little boring, maybe not quite worthy of the ROH championship. Others thought, you know, he climbed the ladder. He's been in the company for a long time, and he deserved that championship. And I know, you know, people are critical of Jay Briscoe. He made some comments about homosexuality taught to his kids. And so the flip side of that is, why would Ring of Honor go back to him as their champion? I just was just puzzled by taking the title off Elgin so quickly. Ring of Honor traditionally don't switch the titles left and right, like you see WWE or TNA, you know, switch the titles often. What was your reaction to Michael Elgin losing the championship and then going back to Jay Briscoe?
Well, Steve, just like you, I found out about this at their show. I believe their show was Saturday night. I'm looking on Facebook, and I see a picture of Jay Briscoe there with the world title. And it says that he's just defeated Elgin. Everybody is in shock. They can't believe it because nobody saw it coming, you know? And what it all goes back to is some comments that I guess Elgin made to Brian Fritz, in which he stated that his goal in the next year is to actually play Major League Baseball. So I guess this pissed somebody off, and they said, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take the strap off this guy, because this guy is showing us that he has no commitment to ROH and no commitment at all to sports entertainment, so we're going to go ahead and get rid of him. And they pulled the belt, and then all the backlash of people with Jay Briscoe becoming the world champion, they're saying, how can they put the title, and I say this verbatim because this is what they had on Facebook, how can they put the title on this redneck reject who made the comments about homosexuals and he says this and says that, but the Ring of Honor puts him as a second champion or puts him as the second guy in the history of ROH to be a two-time champion outside of Austin Aries. And my thing with that is, Steve, is aren't we allowed to feel the way we want to feel and say what we want to say?
We're not entitled to our opinions anymore?
Exactly. What's so wrong about what he said? I'm not saying that I agree with it, but you know, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm saying what is the problem with what he said? If that's how he feels, that's how he feels.
With Elgin here is, you brought up that he put out that he wanted to try out for baseball, and that may have upset Ring of Honor management. I don't know if that's enough to make him switch the championship or not. This could have been a, you know, it's possible that Elgin was a transitional champion. It's possible. I just don't know if I totally buy into the idea that they get upset because the guy said he wants to try out for baseball. When I don't know how old the guy is. I'm looking at his profile, and it says that he debuted in wrestling in 2004. So he's been in the business for 10 years. So he's probably in his late 20s. He just got married, and I can't really blame the guy if his dream has always been to play professional baseball. I mean, his chances at his age now of going into baseball are very slim. I mean, the guy probably goes to a summer camp and they say thanks but no thanks. I mean, we saw what happened with Brock Lesnar, really good athlete, try out for the NFL, he didn't make it. So I think that's a long shot for him to go to, you know, baseball and making that a profession of his. I kind of think, too, with the Briscoes, wasn't it the Briscoes, what, maybe a year ago or so? Their contract was up, and they really were putting out that they were hoping they'd go to WWE. They showed up at a WWE event. I remember them sitting there. They were pictured at a WWE event, and they were really hoping that WWE would pick them up. And, of course, the whip decided not to sign the Briscoes at that time. The Briscoes went back to Ring of Honor, or stayed with Ring of Honor. I'm really surprised they switched the title back to Jay Briscoe. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's anything related to or justified that he made those comments about homosexuality, but I'm a little baffled because if they're mad at Elgin on one hand for making comments about trying out for baseball, then how are they not upset with the Briscoes making comments that they want to leave Ring of Honor and go to WWE?
Because the difference is that even though the Briscoes make comments about wanting to go to the whip, it's still in the confines of sports entertainment. It's not going to – baseball is not has nothing to do with wrestling. So that's where I go back to loyalty. And Ring of Honor somewhat, you know, has a relationship with WWE because, I mean, whenever WWE puts out DVDs, like I'm pretty sure sometime we're probably going to get a Daniel Bryan DVD – and it's probably going to feature some of his ROH matches on it. I mean, they reach out to Ring of Honor. There is some type of a relationship there.
You know, this kind of baffles me because we just saw Kevin Steen leave Ring of Honor for the whip. And I saw an episode where they put him over like Rover. He had all the confetti in the ring, the streamers, everything. His final match in Ring of Honor, let's put him over strong. And where's the guy going? He's going to the whip.
Right.
What would it say if Michael Elgin tried out for baseball, was signed by a major league team, and you say, Michael, this is Michael Elgin's final match, he's going into professional baseball? I think that would say something. Our athletes, they push athletic ability in Ring of Honor. So if his athletic ability gets him into Major League Baseball or gets him signed by a major league team, I would think that would mean something. I don't know if you throw out the streamers for him, but don't you give the guy a pat on the back if he makes it into professional baseball?
Probably not, because, I mean, look what happened at WrestleMania 20 with Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar was going to go, I mean, Brock Lesnar was working for the end-all, be-all in sports entertainment, the WWE. But he was going to go into play professional football, and the people in the Garden completely crapped over it.
Well, the thing was with Brock Lesnar, he left.
Right.
Elgin's not leaving Ring of Honor right now.
Oh, he's not leaving, but he talked about his goal, and his goal that he had didn't say anything about, you know, WWE or any of that.
I don't know. I just think that's to punish the guy because his aspiration is to play baseball. When you had the Briscoes saying, I want to go to WWE. We're at a live event.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that, though. The Briscoes could have been doing that and saying that they want to go to WWE and they show up there at a live event or whatever. But how do we know that this wasn't all some kind of plan that they had in order to get more money out of ROH to get another deal?
But I'm just saying from a company's perspective, here I have two of my bigger stars
going
to a live event.
I mean,
the pictures are on the internet. They're telling everybody in the crowd they hope they go to WWE.
Yeah, but you know that also. I mean, look how much publicity it gave Ring of Honor and gave the Briscoes.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I think it's a good wish, a good goal to get into baseball. If that's been his calling, that he wanted to play baseball at some point. I mean, realistically, his chances of making it in baseball are not very good. If Brock Lesnar couldn't get in the NFL, and Brock Lesnar was younger than Michael Elgin when he tried, probably going to, or pretty close to the same age, Brock Lesnar couldn't make it in the NFL.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that Michael Elgin at his age is going to show up in the Toronto Blue Jays are going to sign him, or the Detroit Tigers, or the Cincinnati Reds. I just don't see it. I don't know what the problem is if the guy says, yeah, I'd like to try out for baseball sometime, or my goal is to get myself into baseball shape and hopefully have a chance at trying baseball. I don't know. If that's the reason, I got to be a little critical of Ring of Honor right now. And I've been praising them. I've been giving all kinds of credit for their product being really good. I mean, Frank, this weekend, I'm watching ROH. I got Silas Young versus Brian Kendrick. Plus, they showed me the Young Bucks against Bad Influence.
Hmm.
And, you know, tonight, what do I get? I get Jerry Springer. So I've been putting Ring of Honor over for their product. We've talked about them pushing the black athlete. You have Jay Lethal. You have ACH. You have Caprice Coleman out there. Cedric Alexander was getting a good push. You have the Moose is in the company. I mean, we've been giving Ring of Honor a lot of credit for having a really good product. It's engaging me. I'm looking forward to their weekend shows. But if they decide today or over the weekend that, I don't know, we just don't feel that Elgin is committed to Ring of Honor or not committed to wrestling because he wants to try out for baseball, I got to be a little critical of ROH management. And I don't know if that's the case. We don't know if that's 100% the case. But if that is the case, I just find that weak on ROH in their situation. I can't believe they take the title off him because the guy wants to try out for baseball.
Yeah, you know, it seems petty. But
we don't
know the actual factuals yet. And I'm pretty sure in the coming days we're gonna know because this is a big story that's going on right now, and it's a big story that that's happening in Ring of Honor and not something that's happening over in WWE for once.
And to transition a little bit with just staying with Ring of Honor, the theme here, as I said, Frank, I saw a really good Ring of Honor show. It's probably the third or fourth week in a row. I really enjoyed watching their hour syndicated show. And it really reminded me of days gone by when WWE used to be WWF Superstars. And you'd watch WWF Superstars, and it would make you want to watch WWF Superstars the next week.
Right.
And here we are with Ring of Honor. They have 1 hour of television. It's, what, 45 minutes probably with the commercials in it. And they push their talent. The talent's very engaging. They have compelling characters. It's very athletic. It's not sports entertainment. It's really a wrestling product. And I just remember the days of, you know, watching an hour show and wanting to tune into the next hour show the next week versus, you know, today we have 2 hours of this, we have 3 hours of this, we have, you know, 2 hours of SmackDown, etc. Just made me appreciate the days, Frank, when I was growing up. You know, AWA would have a syndicated hour show. I'd watch it, and the next week I would want to watch AWA wrestling again the next week.
Right.
Or World Class Championship Wrestling have an hour show. Or the Mid-South days of Jim Ross as the lead announcer on the Mid-South days. You know, have a hot hour of wrestling, and then next week I want to tune in and watch wrestling again. And I just think we're just oversaturated with 2 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, or 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, 2 hours of Impact, and then you have NXT, and you have, now I got Total Divas back, etc. Just made me appreciate those days, Frank, when you gave me an hour, and I wanted to tune in the next week to see your show again.
Yeah. It gives you a bit of a variety in continuous stories and continuous, you know, actual professional wrestling, and not the scripted sports entertainment of WWE.
They always talk about this episodic wrestling. Well, I mean, you can miss three or four editions of Raw and you've missed nothing.
Right.
Where I feel like if I miss a week of Ring of Honor, I may have missed something. I missed a really good match. I missed something advanced in the storylines. A decade is out there. They're trying to recruit new members. You know, it's interesting to see how that's going to play out. I mean, you know, I was thinking too is, you know, the Ring of Honor champion is not on every single show.
Right.
You remember the day when Hulk Hogan was the champion and he was not on every edition of WWF television?
That's right, and that's the thing I don't understand why people, you know, are complaining about Lesnar. You know, I used to remember, you know, it was very, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't see the WWF champion all over the TV, or the WCW champion all over the TV. You didn't see that. That's where the secondary championship belts came into play. The U.S. titles and the Intercontinental Championship. And that's when the tag team championship belts. I mean, I remember back in the day, man, the tag team championships would main event a TV show. That's how
I remember
how it was.
And back to the Crockett days when, like, Ric Flair was a champion, he'd be gone for 2 or 3 weeks in Japan.
Yeah.
And it's like, how can you have a show without your champion? Because right. You have other talent.
Exactly.
You have tag team champions. You have a U.S. champion. You have a television championship. You have stars you're bringing up. You don't need your champion on every show. Yeah, people be critical of WWE because Brock Lesnar's not on every show. Isn't that great when he actually shows up? It means something again.
Exactly.
You don't need to be on every single show. I mean, you have John Cena and Randy Orton pushed down your throats when they're the champion. They're on every single show. Look how boring they are.
Yep.
The Ring of Honor don't need their champion on every show. They don't do it. I mean, when Adam Cole was a champion, he wasn't on every single episode of Ring of Honor. It's that old school booking back in the day, I remember. It was special. I mean, when Hulk Hogan wrestled on WWF television in the 80s, it was special, Frank.
Yep.
It was something. If he came in the ring, I remember one episode, WWF Superstars. He wrestled the Moondog, non-title. It was a big deal. Hulk Hogan is on television. I mean, usually you had to pay to see him at an arena, or you had to wait for WrestleMania, or get a WWF videotape back in the day. Or they would save, you know, his matches for Saturday night's main event. I mean, when he wrestled on WWF television, it meant something.
Yep.
And now it's so oversaturated that Ring of John Cena and Randy Orton on every single show.
Yep.
It just feels like, you know, when I watch Ring of Honor, it feels like old school booking. You know, where they would have the announcements for their upcoming live events and order your tickets for a television taping. We're going to be in this city for the television taping. Kind of like they used to do back in the day with WWF.
Right.
Or the Crockett days. You know, we're going to tape a show here. Or WCW would tape a show there. I mean, that was it kind of meant something to go to a live show and see the stars of that promotion. And now they're just on the TV every week, and now, you know, buy the network, $9.99, and see them more and more and more.
Yep.
So
$9.99 pushed down your damn throat every week.
Yep.
They even have a T-shirt, $9.99.
Well, speaking of money, Ric Flair was in the news again because I guess Kerry Silken, the former Ring of Honor promoter and still works with Ring of Honor, put out a tweet that, yeah, he's still owed $40,000 from Ric Flair. And I put that as a headline story on my site. And I was getting some tweets and some emails saying, why is that the headline story? Ric Flair owes everybody money.
Yeah.
So the deadbeat Ric Flair not paying his bills.
That's the problem when you basically live the gimmick.
Style and profile too much.
Yeah.
And now you're a deadbeat, and you owe everybody money.
Exactly. $40,000.
$40,000? Jeez, oh, peeps. Which Kerry Silken will probably never see a dime of that.
No. And I'd sue him. I would have done sued Flair.
But he doesn't have any money if you sue him.
Yeah.
It was like suing O.J. Simpson. He don't have any money. He spent all that money on this legal team. He's broke.
Yeah.
And go back to our O.J. discussion of last week. The Goldman family sued him, civil court. He lost. They never got any money because the guy was broke. So.
Yeah, he was broke. But you know what? People have a thing about taking their assets and hiding them.
True. So. You know, he's out there selling his Heisman Trophy.
Stealing it.
My gosh.
He was too busy stealing it.
Yep. And, you know, Frank, you were telling me about another podcast you were listening to was the Jim Ross podcast, and mm-hmm. he had a guy on there that you're a big fan of, and I always enjoyed his work, you know, growing up listening to the Crockett days, and then he, of course, went to WWF back in the day, and then, of course, became synonymous with WCW Monday Nitro, the official voice of the show. Tony Schiavone was on Jim Ross, and I guess he told a very interesting story of what happened with his relationship with Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Right, he did. Basically, the story that Schiavone told is, you know, apparently back in late 99, early 2000, Bobby Heenan was actually let go by WCW. And the story he told is, I believe he said Brad Siegel called him and told him that they had fired Bobby, and he could not believe that they had fired Bobby Heenan. He was like, I mean, pretty much like, have you lost your damn mind? Why would you fire the Brain? Well, he said that Brad Siegel told him not to, he told him, as your boss, I'm telling you, if Bobby Heenan calls you on the phone because he's threatening a lawsuit, do not talk to him. So Schiavone made the decision. He said at the time he was being a company man. He made the decision not to talk to Heenan, not to check up on Heenan, see how he was doing. And that pretty much is what killed their friendship. He says that he loved Bobby Heenan, enjoyed working with Heenan, and he wishes he could go back and change it. But there's nothing he can do about it. And he said he just recently spoke to Mike Tenay about that situation. And it, from what I gathered from it, Steve, it seems like Schiavone would be willing and open to patch things up with the Brain.
And I would hope so. We've seen pictures of the Brain looking very frail. You would hope, you know, I don't want to speculate. There's been a lot of rumors about his health. I don't know exactly how he's doing. I mean, he's at least being able to do conventions and get to shows and things, but I mean, Bobby the Brain is not going to be in this world for too much longer, and you'd hate to see a friendship as long as they've had a relationship, and if Heenan passes away tomorrow and you've not made amends with Heenan, when you can reach out to the guy and make up and maybe have a, you know, pop a joke about it, because that's what the Brain does. He makes jokes about everything. So
yeah, well, apparently when they were they had did some commentary for a video game that came out over 10 years ago. It was called Showdown, Legends of Wrestling. And he basically said that, you know, Heenan let him have it about how he didn't go to bat for him. He didn't call him. He didn't say anything to him about anything. And, you know, like I said, Shivani just came off to me as a guy. If he could touch the brain, he would. But he says that if Bobby Heenan said anything negative about him in the public eye, he could not really say that he's wrong. He couldn't say anything about it because he said that he screwed that up. It wasn't Bobby who did anything. It was him.
And I guess Shivani also answered the question about the end of WCW, and was he upset that he wasn't the final voice you heard on WCW Monday Nitro?
Right, and he said that he wasn't at all. He did not feel bad about that when he was burnt out.
And they just basically told him, you're done? We're not picking up your contract and you're gone.
Pretty much, yeah. They told that to everybody, a lot of people. They had I guess that Thursday after that final Nitro, they had a human resources meeting at the WCW offices in Atlanta. And, the human resource people there from Time Warner, and they had a WWE attorney there or somebody, and they said basically that, you know, the company was you know, bought by WWE, and, you know, we're not picking up anybody's deals, and you guys pretty much were being let go, and now they're going to talk about, I guess, you know, severance packages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's actually funny because they said that Shivani said that people were saying that he came there overdressed. He came there wearing a suit and tie and all that. And what people don't know is that Shivani actually had another job interview that afternoon and got hired on with WSB Radio to call some games. So.
And, of course, people were probably most remember Tony Schiavone from a wrestling perspective. He showed up in TNA, handful of years ago,
right.
Was looking not too in shape at that time. He was playing a heel, and I think when he came back, there was some speculation. Maybe he's going to get credit, you know, become a commentator with TNA, or maybe he's trying to audition for WWF or WWE and get back into wrestling. And he came back and he realized wrestling had passed him by.
Right. Yeah, he was done. He was so burnt out. He said he can't do it. He told it to Jeff Jarrett and Vince Russo, and they gave him his check, and he was done. So.
He went into people that don't know, he's in he's a commentator for minor league baseball now.
Right, and he's very happy in doing it. Very, very happy.
Yeah, all this speculation.
And I'm glad to see
Shivani come back.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Shivani out there doing something to do with wrestling. I mean, here's a guy to me who just didn't get his just due. And he's one of, you know, the more underrated announcers out there. And Shivani, you know, Shivani was a big part of my childhood coming up. You know, he was the voice of WCW.
And for me growing up, he was the voice of the Crockett Show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've you know, listened to Tony Shivani a long time, and I know that you put out a tweet about Tony coming on this podcast possibly as a guest. And I know Tony doesn't do a lot of wrestling interviews. So if Tony's listening or somebody puts a message out to Tony or tweet him, yeah, I'd love to have him on this podcast. I have a lot of questions for him and a lot of questions about those Crockett days growing up, you know, watching those 605 shows on Saturday night. And this was pre-WCW Saturday night. It was just the old Crockett Show. And if Tony would like to come on this podcast and go down memory lane, I'd love to have him on here. And I know you're a fan of his work as well. So
exactly. Huge fan, Shivani.
So put that out there. That now maybe somebody can attach this link to Tony's Twitter out there. I know he's on Twitter, and always settled into a different lifestyle and not really wrestling related. But I'd love to pick his brain sometime on that era and what happened with WWF. And you know, when he went to WWF, Frank, I think he was just so synonymous with a different promotion that even though he was good in WWF, I don't think he really clicked with the WWF fan base at that time.
Right. I don't think he did either. And it's this similar argument can be made for Ric Flair. You know, in the fact that Flair came over from the Crockett's and WCW and NWA, and he just did not – he wasn't a New York, you know, WWE guy. He just wasn't. He never has been, never will be. I don't care if Flair is there now. It doesn't matter to me. I still look at him as a guy from WCW.
Well, we know why Flair is there now.
Why is he there, Steve?
He needs a paycheck.
Yeah. Well,
he's broke.
Yeah, well I'd love to get that paycheck. I'd love to get a paycheck for you know, being responsible for JR getting fired.
You know, real quickly with Ric Flair, because I remember the time we I think it was before we were doing a podcast, but it was the situation with TNA and Ric Flair, that he was, what, overseas, and he ran up a big bar tab, and there was that, you know, be fair to Flair, the guy's a legend, you know, treat him with some respect. Frank, when you're seeing this guy rack up all these bills, and he owes money to all these people, I mean, there's one thing to style and profile him, but there comes a day when you need to pay your bills, too.
Right.
And I, you know, I've defended Ric Flair a lot over the years because I had a lot of respect for him as an in-ring performer and a legend in this business, certainly a Hall of Famer. But, you know, when I hear more and more that, you know, he goes to the bar and he runs up a tab and he runs out on it.
Right.
That you lose, or you go to the bar with Ric Flair and he's like, hey, this one's on me. And you realize he can't pay his bill. You know, you lose a lot of respect for a guy like that. You know, I don't tell somebody I'll buy you dinner, and then I say, well, oh, sorry, Frank, I don't have enough money to pay. You know what I mean? That's just
yeah, and you know something, see, to be honest,
ridiculous.
What's a legend? A legend is somebody who's stayed in the business too long, and that's just how I look at Ric Flair. The same way I look at Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I give Hogan the fact of, you know, he's the Babe Ruth of wrestling and whatever other jazz they want to put on him. But the bottom line is that the guy stayed in the business too long. And that's what Flair's doing. He's in the business too long. And what are you gonna do? I mean, if they bring this guy out here now for nothing. I really have no respect for Flair. None. Just like I had none personally. I had none for Joan Rivers. That's just how it is.
And what is your opinion today of Grandpa Huckster?
My opinion of Grandpa Huckster is another one who stayed on too long. Here's a guy who wants to sit up there and tell you that, oh, yeah, he made up with Randy Savage, but then other people saying something different. Here's another guy who says, oh, you know, I made up with the Warrior brother, but it was on camera. But yet the Warrior's family says, you haven't even contacted him. So here's another guy who stayed on too long, and I got no respect for him either. Hogan's just a habitual liar. Him and his partner, Jimmy Fark.
Yep. When the Ultimate Warrior's wife says, you know, it was all a PR stunt, you came on and made up with my husband because the cameras were rolling, and when the cameras are off, where are you?
Exactly.
I didn't get any condolences from you.
Exactly.
You know, I have two young daughters. You think you could say, I feel bad because your dad's gone? You know, where is the Hulkster? Where is the guy who, you know, not going to let it slide and stands up for people and... You supposedly just made up with a Warrior, and you can't have the decency to make a phone call to Dana Warrior and say, I'm really sorry about your husband. You know, we just saw him at the Hall of Fame, and now he's gone. Yeah, these legends, boy, the more you hear about them, the more you read about them. Legends of what?
Pretty much.
Legends of the sport and then jackasses in real life? Come with me and party, and then you pay the tab. Woo!
yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Exactly, you pay. Yeah. I mean, look how much hell he put Eric Bischoff through back in the day.
And people always were siding with Flair, and then you think about it, yeah, maybe Bischoff was right in that situation.
Oh, I think Bischoff was right 100%.
Yep.
I mean, look how many years, you know, Flair had dominated WCW. I mean, people, you know, let's be honest about something here. People want to talk about Sting, right? And they'll say, you know, like Meltzer said, well, you know, Sting wasn't a Hall of Famer because of the drawing and all that stuff, right? But you know what? The same can be said for Flair. I mean, how many shows do you see? I saw one the other day when I had the network. It was one of those Clash of Champions, and Flair was one of the headliners, and the whole damn top of the building was empty. I mean, it's
true.
This is the guy here. I mean, this is the reason why. I mean, if they had the Four Horsemen down there and Flair and them were partying and living that lifestyle, but there's a reason why you look at the WWF product back in the day versus Jim Crockett's product. That's the reason why the two look different, because one was a big time and the other one was a wannabe.
True. Let's turn our attentions to Ravon and his cousin here. They have they have their usual questions for us, Frank. They have the usual thought-provoking questions, although the first question here I want to address, I think we've addressed it to a certain degree. This is from Dakari Adamson. He says, if Bret Hart would have went to WCW in 96, and was to join Scott Hall and Kevin Nash as a third man, what do you think how would the wrestling business have been at that time? And it's a question too, because I was just watching the Monday Night Wars, and of course they brought up that Hulk Hogan wasn't the original idea, that one of the ideas discussed was Sting, and then the story is Hulk Hogan says, "Whoa, wait a minute, brother, maybe it's time for me to turn heel and I'll join the NWO, because I know that this is going in the right direction. The Hall and Nash are really getting over in WCW." But I kind of think the bigger question is, would the NWO really have worked, been as successful, if Hulk Hogan was not the third member?
Well, let's go here, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That episode of, on the network that you're talking about with Hogan saying that, "Wait a minute, brother, I realized what was going on there, and I decided to go ahead and do it." Yeah, actually, you didn't. From what I understand from Kevin Sullivan and a lot of different stories that I've seen, they had to really talk Hogan into doing it. Hogan was not sold on being the third guy. For a while.
Supposedly, Bischoff, I believe one of the Monday Night Wars said that he went down to Florida with the idea that we got to turn Hogan heel, and he got kicked out the door.
Right. Hogan was not down with it. He didn't want to do it.
Right.
So it's like they finally convinced him that it needed to be done, because Hogan was coming out there as, just like John Cena, going out there getting booed, and that's the way it happened. Now, I tell you what, the situation with Bret Hart, if Bret Hart had came over and he was the guy that joined Hall and Nash, I don't think it would have worked. I don't think it would have worked with anybody other than Hogan.
Even Sting?
Sting was cast in the role that he needed to be cast in, as a guy fighting the NWO. It was perfect for that. If Bret Hart had came over there, in 96, at the time, when after Hogan had turned, Bret Hart could have been one of the guys that would have been fighting for the WCW. If they had done what they did, if they have done it correctly when Bret had got screwed by WWE and brought him in, and people would say, "Oh, well, they brought him in there, 6 months later or whatever." Well, I think it was actually, a month later or something like that, is when WWE finally brought him in, and they brought him in at a meager role at Starrcade, when they could actually put Bret Hart on Starrcade in a meaningful match. But Bret would have been the guy fighting, fighting the NWO. We would have finally saw Bret versus Hulk. And that's what I think would happen. I don't think the NWO angle would have worked with anybody other than Hulk Hogan. It was magic, and it was destined to happen that way.
And then the other question here would be, if you're talking about the 96 year, and of course that's documented on the Wrestling with Shadows, that Bret is, of course, talking to WCW, talking to Eric Bischoff. And if Bret would have jumped in 96, it would have been a bigger blow to WWF, because basically WWF kicked him out the door in 97,
right,
at the end of 97.
Right.
If Bret would have jumped on his own in 96 and not gone to Vince and got the 20-year deal, it would have been a huge blow to Vince at that time in 96 when he was still doing something with Bret. Bret was one of the main stars on his roster. It could have really crippled Vince at that time. I mean, that would have been a major blow to lose Bret Hart in 96, much more than would have been in 97 after Vince basically, showed him the door.
And the thing about that, too, is that I'm not understanding how you can sign Bret at one point to a 20-year contract, and in 96, Bret is so, viable to your company, but you have a change of heart within a year later?
Yeah, within 1 year.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
After you put the belt on him at SummerSlam 97.
After you put the belt on him, after Bret arguably was the top heel you had in the company, the Team Canada deal, and you chose to go in another direction, and you chose to go with Shawn Michaels. And to be fair about it, Steve, Shawn wasn't actively there anymore after the Royal Rumble 98. I mean, he had got injured there, and then he gave it up at WrestleMania 14 against Austin. Now, you mean to tell me that Bret and Stone Cold Steve Austin couldn't have continued a new feud in the Attitude Era?
I think to a certain degree, Bret versus Hogan was just never going to happen.
Well, yeah, because Hogan had the mentality, Bret's not big enough or whatever.
Hogan didn't want to do it in WWF. He was never going to do it in WCW anyways.
Yep.
But I just think if Brett would have jumped in 96, I'm not saying that would have cast WWF out of business, but that would have been a huge blow to Vince at that time.
Yep.
And who knows what the reaction would have been at 96 when he still wanted Brett. And Brett, you know, you'd use his loyalty like, you know, Vince is like a father to him and a second father to him. And you got to stay in WWF. You're the loyal guy. And, you know, I want to stay in WWF. But, boy, if that's a lot of money to turn down from WCW. That's a lot of Ted Turner money there.
Well, I mean, Brett came under the final situation that Hall and Nash came under. Where you asked Vince, you know, can he come up with the money to match Turner? And I'll say, well, Vince couldn't do it because he just didn't have the resources that Turner had. You know, then Vince goes like, well, we weren't a publicly traded company, so we didn't have Turner's money.
And the thing about it, too, is Brett turned out a deal where he would have had far fewer dates.
True.
Because they were offering Hall and Nash, what? They're working 300 dates in the whip, and they could have worked 180 dates or 150 dates. More money and less dates? That's hard to turn down.
Truly.
And then, you know, next year to say, you know, Brett screwed Brett. Okay, Vince. Brett screwed Brett.
Yeah.
Let's go with that one. I guess it worked. Look, it turned Mr. McMahon into Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
The heel of Vince McMahon.
The heel of Mr. McMahon, yeah, they turned him into that, but... What's going on right now that can equal that?
Nothing. I don't think. Do you?
No. I mean, what the Bellas means? No.
And then he says, do you think Hogan would have still turned heel at some point, or we would have finally gotten the Brett versus Hogan match we were supposed to get at SummerSlam 93? I don't think it was in the cards. I don't think Grandpa Huckster, as you would say, would ever work with Bret Hart.
You know, number one, Bret, he sits up there and claims that Bret would have, Bret was too small and whatever. No, I think what it comes down to is Bret would have went in there and out-wrestled Hulk. Bret would have ran circles around Hulk Hogan. And that's the problem. So that's the reason why he didn't want to work with him.
I totally agree. Let's go to Ravon's two questions for us this week. And his first question is, some of the wrestling angles that made you not want to be a wrestling fan. And, of course, he points to the Katie Vick angle and the storyline where Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton were working, and they said that Orton said that Eddie Guerrero was in hell. What were some of the storylines that came to mind? In fact, you know, Frank, you just talked about the Bella Twins. Anything with the Bella Twins makes me want to turn the channel.
Yeah, anything the Bella Twins are involved in make me, make me embarrassed to be a fan.
Is there any other angles that come to mind? Thinking back in your all the years you've been watching wrestling, it says, ugh.
Yeah, let's see. Judy Bagwell in WCW.
Judy Bagwell on a pole?
Yep. Anything above Bagwell was involved in. It made me embarrassed to be a fan. I didn't like it. I'm not a fan of Bagwell at all. The storyline with Daniel Bryan and Kane and Bree Bella from earlier this year, when he had he was trying to get the car started or something, and Kane was in the backseat and Bree Bella with her fake screaming. I was like, damn. I mean, how much does acting classes really cost?
It's true. What was the storyline? Was it Al Snow and Bubba,
Big
Boss Man?
Yeah, with the dog, with, Pepe.
With the casket?
Yeah.
I didn't really care for that one.
Yeah
Pepe. Boy, yeah. Yeah, that's right. What was the storyline with Moppy? Perry Saturn.
Yeah, Perry Saturn. Yes, another one.
Yeah, that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of lame ones. I don't know if... Did they make you embarrassed to be wrestling fans? I don't know. There's a lot of...
You know, that's the thing about... You know, listen. I can't really say it made me embarrassed to be a fan. It just basically makes me question why I watch this crap. Because I'm not going to go out there and put out there, oh, I'm a wrestling fan. That ain't going to happen.
I know this was part of the wrestling attitude era, but the transsexual Mark Henry thing I didn't like at all. I'll be honest with you. I didn't care for that.
Yeah.
didn't interest me. And I know that was the Attitude Era, and that, you know, old ladies giving birth to hands at that time, and all that kind of stuff. You know, choppy choppy with Val Venus, but I mean, heck, Val Venus was a porn star, right?
So, right.
But I didn't care for the Mark Henry storyline at that time either. That did make me kind of feel embarrassed that you're going to talk to your friend about Mark Henry.
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't care for the story he did with Mae Young, to be honest with you.
No.
I didn't really care for that. I didn't think it was entertaining. I didn't think it was funny at all. Now, one of the things that I did find funny, and I was happy to be a fan, I thought it was hilarious, was the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club.
Did you like that?
No, that was funny, man.
I didn't care for that, especially when he had Jim Ross out there kissing his ass.
Yeah.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah, well, well, what I mean by the Kiss My Ass Club, it was actually two of them that I enjoyed. It was the one with the first one with William Regal, and then the second one with Steve Austin.
Yep.
And I remember Austin was down on his knees in a ring, and Vince had his ass in his face, and Austin says, "You ever use any toilet paper?" So that was funny.
You know, other people that I talk to, and we talk about like bad wrestling angles, is the angle they did with Trish Stratus, where she had to bark like a dog. I know some people still don't like that storyline at all. You know, degrading Trish Stratus on TV like that.
A lot of people don't like that angle. My thing is this, man: if people had a if Trish Stratus had a problem with it, then she wouldn't have done it.
Well, you could say that if she would have turned it down, it would sabotage her career.
Push somebody else,
like Owen Hart, turned down the Deborah angle.
Yeah, well, what would they have done? Dress Trish up as a man?
Dressed her up as a doink?
Right.
I don't know. But I don't know, a lot of people didn't like that storyline. I didn't really like it either. There's a lot of them that I can think of that are bad, but as far as, you know, being shamed to be a wrestling fan or insulting to wrestling fans.
Yeah.
You know, I guess if you're a big wrestling fan, you can accept a lot.
Well, you know what? It didn't bother me. I vaguely remember it, so it didn't really bother me.
Yeah, the Rey Mysterio one was pretty bad, too. I mean, when I think back to it, when they involved his wife there.
Right.
I didn't care for that storyline either. And then a second question is from Ravon here is, do you think Mr. Perfect and Kurt Angle should have had a match at WrestleMania 18? I believe they would have had one of the great matches ever. And, of course, remember 2002 is what when Kurt Hennig returned at the Royal Rumble, and he really got over, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe they can do something with Mr. Perfect again, and really went nowhere. And within, what, a year, if that, he was in TNA working for the Jarretts.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Perfect, Kurt Hennig, I think he could have had a match that would have been good with Angle, but I don't think it would have been great because the better years of Kurt Hennig were behind him. You know, he wasn't never really the same after he had the back injury in 91. So, you know, wasn't he getting, I mean, the entire time that he was on TV or off TV, wasn't he getting paid by the Voice of London or something like that?
I believe he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he came out of that and went over to Turner. And to be honest with you, I mean, some of Kurt's stuff was good in WWE, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Mr. Perfect.
No.
I mean, he had lost that, right. He had lost that luster, in my opinion.
Yeah, the 2002 Mr. Perfect was not the 1993 Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I think they still could have pulled off a great match at WrestleMania 18, but I don't think it was meant to be. Although, definitely, when he returned to that Royal Rumble, he was really over, Frank. I really thought they were going to do something with him at that time.
Yeah.
But if you're getting paid by Lloyd's of London, and they're worried about his health, I guess that's why you don't push him.
Yeah, and they probably may have known something we didn't know.
Right.
I mean, as far as his personal, what was going on.
His habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but true. So if you have any questions for us, email them at us, gerwickreport@gerwick.net. Frank D. is on Twitter, as I am as well. Real Frank DEE, and Frank always has an opinion or two to voice on Twitter as well, on social media. Definitely follow him there. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Gerwick, and we're together at Gerwick Report on Twitter. And you can also follow me, Steve Gerwick, on Twitter for the real anti-NWO tweets. So if you want to find out what's really going on in the world and not what you're told by ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, look me up on Twitter. So we always encourage fans out there to spread the word about our podcast. Tweet it out. Put it on Facebook. Tell your friends. Tell your family that we're putting on a good podcast here, and that, to check us out.
Right.
Every edition of the Gerwick Report, including previous podcasts, which you can, of course, check out at Gerwick.net. And as Frank D said, you can actually tune in to listen to our previous podcast as well. We're on Spreaker and Stitcher, and you can download our previous podcast on iTunes as well. So a lot of ways for us, the listeners out there, to listen to current and previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast. And as always, a pleasure doing the podcast with you, Frank.
Yeah, I always enjoy it, and I can't wait to do the next one.